Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news, transfer news, as we delve into, well, some new significant updates, to be honest with you. I'm a little bit late this morning because Iriola is not going back to Spain to Athletic Club. They are going for, I forget the name of the manager, so he is leaving Bournemouth and looking like a Premier League manager. Is that something United are going to do, or are Chelsea going to do it? Also, Bruno Fernandes, in a very exclusive interview with Wayne Rooney, effectively slamming the ownership again. What does that mean for his future at United? Also, we've got updates around João Gomez, Elliot Anderson and Yann Diamande, all of which look like they are off the table for Manchester United now, which develops the question, what is it we're actually doing then? If we're not getting Anderson and we're not getting João Gomez and we're not getting Diamande, there was a time maybe a month ago when those three players could have been very viable options. And if they're not options, then who are we looking at? So look, lots to get into on the show this morning. We'll start off. Where should we start? Well, let's start off with Iriola, actually, just very, very quickly, because the manager situation at United, I saw something this morning about Wayne Rooney, you know, making a big play for Carrick to get the job, which is fine. Obviously, used to play with him. They're very good mates. He was down at Carrington today to do the interview, this week, doing the interview with Bruno, which is very, very good. But Fabrizio Romano has just put it out there. Here we go. Edin Terzic has been approved all details of Athletic Club contract, ready for new chapter in Bilbao, formal steps and then official statement to follow. So Iriola will not be going back there, but he will be leaving Bournemouth. Is he an option for Manchester United? Well, probably not. I think in relation to the manager situation, it's still very much a debate that I don't want to get into because we've done it to death. But I still think it's going to be Michael Carrick's job, but we can't argue that there's some good options out there. It's certainly not. It's a bit like the midfield situation, isn't it? The manager market is very, very big. There's a lot of options there. Obviously, there's risk with everybody, but there is a lot of managers out there. So look, I don't think United will do anything about that, but maybe they will. Just on Elliot Anderson, there was something else today. I've not even checked it myself. It was on Instagram, and I'm not very good on Instagram. Let me just see if I can do it while we're live here. Apparently, Elliot Anderson has done something else on Instagram that would suggest that maybe he's going to go to Manchester City. Let's have a look. I can't see anything that he's done on Man City, but what I would say about Elliot Anderson is, right, I don't know. I don't know. Fabrizio Romano. Oh, he reposted a City video, says King Walker. And apparently we've had a Fabrizio Romano post as well. It's all going on this morning. We are starting. Make sure you're watching the channel, subscribing to the channel, because it is starting to get very, very busy now, isn't it? Fabrizio Romano has posted about Saliba. I mean, I don't know why that's got to do with the United Stand. But there we go. Sometimes the chat will send us off in directions that, you know, are absolutely irrelevant. But in relation to Elliot Anderson, I'm sort of confused by this. I mean, because it's very, very obvious over the last 24 hours that everybody is basically saying he wants to go to Man City, and that's probably where he's going to go. And I mentioned this last night, that it's sort of confusing because United have made a big bit. I mean, look, I think United's messaging to the fans is, in a nice way, confused. On the one hand, we only want to buy players that want to play for Man United. And on the other hand, we're waiting for Elliot Anderson like bloody Oliver with a bowl saying, please, sir. Like, you know, I don't understand. I could pull out 4 or 5 stories in the last 12 months where United are quite happy to say we only want players that want to play for Man United. And then for 9 months, we've been waiting on Elliot Anderson. And you know what? I don't know why we're doing this. Like, he's a very good player, right? He's a very good player, but it's desperate. It's a bit beggy, you know. Why are we waiting? Why are we waiting? It doesn't make Elliot Anderson is for whatever reason wanting to go to Man City, and there's some very good reasons for that. And I don't even knock it really, but Man United are still waiting there, throwing stories out about how he's our priority. And are we doing it for time? Do you think we're using it for time? Do you think we're going, the longer he doesn't sign for Man City, the more we can be linked to him and the more we don't actually do anything? I mean, is that a good take? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, because it's very obvious that he seems to want to go to Man City and we're second best. And we're using that story for months. And you sort of like go, any club with any morals would be like, he clearly wants to go to Man City. We're not messing about. We're moving on. And what I mean is, all right, maybe he will come to Man United, but will he be second best? And I think that United, you know, we could play a card here and go, look, we're not going to wait. We're not waiting for you. We're not going to wait. You either get in the car or you don't. It reminds me of my granddad, actually. Like, he, you know, absolute legend, but he was very impatient. You know, if you wanted, if you said, could granddad, could I have one of your crisps, he'd hold the packet like quite tightly so you could only get a couple out. Didn't want to share. And also, you know, if we were down the local pub and, you know, he wanted to go home and we were playing on the swings and that, and my gran was waiting for us, he'd drive off. Like, he'd be like, I've had enough of waiting, which was problematic when we were in Cornwall once, because it's a long way back from Cornwall to Nottingham. But my point is, some people won't wait. And if you know people aren't going to wait, you won't call their bluff. You won't say, I'm going to have another go on the swings, Grandad. You won't do it because you know he'll drive off, because he's done it before. So United need to be a little bit like that. Because when people know that you won't wait, they won't take the piss. They'll be on it. They'll move on. And God, I never did that on the swings again. So the point is, I think United are coming across weak again. Weak again. And I know some of you want Man City to win the league, which I find incredible. I just don't know what's happening to football, but that's football. It's fine. Tune in at 3 o'clock for the relegation games. But we have been second place to Manchester City at Christmas for Semenyu, and we are now second place to Man City now. Man City fans must just sit there, if you can find them, and laugh at United going, you know, all my life, United were the big club. And now look at us. We are the kingmakers. We sit here and we go for players, and Man United are desperately there. It's like being in a nightclub, isn't it, right? It's like being in a nightclub, right? And there's someone you fancy and they're flirting away with someone else. And you're stood there like a beg, hoping that someone else says, no, you're not for me. So they've got to look for someone else. And your mates are like, come on. Have some pride. She wants to be with him. And you're waiting there like a beg. She ain't not interested in you. Not interested. Unless he snubs her, not interested. And you know what? What sort of relationship's that? Second best. As soon as something better comes along, they'll be gone. And I think that there are so many good options in the midfield for Manchester United. And we're sort of like, I get the feeling, actually, that this is just what United do. It happens a lot. Liam Delap, a year ago, we want Liam Delap, we want Liam Delap, we want Liam Delap. He goes to Chelsea. We want Gyökeres, we want Gyökeres, we want Gyökeres. He goes to Arsenal. We want Semenyu, we want Semenyu, we want Semenyu. He goes to Man City. We want Anderson, we want... There's a running theme of Ineos, Wilcox, Berarda, of being a bit beggy. You know, on the one hand, we're Manchester United and we only want players to play for Man United. On the other hand, we are I mean, Liam Delap, we were begging Liam Delap. And, you know, he goes to Chelsea, which is great. It is great. But 9 months, we're still being told Elliot Anderson's our priority. And I'm sort of like, he's good, but Tonali's better. He's good, but Tchouaméni's better. Just move on. Bin the story. Go, we've waited long enough. We've got a big summer coming up. We're moving on, you know? As Colin says, are they doing it just to kill time? Because another story that's come out this morning, actually, is about João Gomes. Now, I don't think this is going to cause tears in the chat. I really don't think people are going to, you know, throw their breakfast against the wall or, you know, scream in their garden. But
I do think that, you know, it is worth mentioning that João Gomes is valued at around 40 million by Wolves, 35 to 40 million pounds. Man United and Arsenal have been tracking him, but apparently Atletico Madrid have also opened talks with Wolves. This is coming in from Ben Jacobs via Talk Sport. So he is looking, and Ben Jacobs tweeted this last night, Atletico Madrid have opened talks with Wolves for João Gomes, having shortlisted him in January. Atletico Madrid have already agreed terms with Ederson, but no club-to-club agreement. Atletico looking to look at other options as well. Man United and Arsenal are also tracking Ederson. But I'm not going to lose sleep over the fact that we don't get João Gomes. But I am going to lose sleep at the fact that I don't really know what we're doing. And, you know, there'll be some prat who comes out with, well, you know, why would Man United tell you? Well, because Man United tell everybody. We're not that club. I can't, you know, 10 years now, longer than 10 years, I can't sit here and go, oh, trust the process. I think you can at other clubs. I think at Liverpool, you could probably sit there and go, look, we've got history of not being in for a player in the morning and holding up a shirt in the evening. We don't have that history. So I'm sorry. I don't want to be offensive. But if somebody tells me, well, why would you know anything? The club might be working on secret stuff. Come on. It's, you know, United working on secret stuff is like asking Stevie Wonder to drive into London and get you shopping without hitting anything. It's not going to happen, is it? With all due respect. So I think that Manchester United aren't working on secret stuff because it doesn't work. And as King Walker says, maybe all roads lead to Belabor. Let's hope Stevie Wonder's not driving. But the point is, I don't really see what we're doing at the moment, you know? And also, if you think we're doing secret stuff, why have we more or less put it out there to the Ornsteins and the Romanos, etc., that Elliot Anderson is our priority, Tonali's too expensive, Wharton is too similar to Mainoo? I mean, we literally had a brief this week. Simon Stone, Samuel Lookhurst, The Athletic, James Ducker, they all had the same story. They all had the same story, didn't they? Max says, note to Mark's editor, please snap up these analogies to make a compilation later. Well, they're not analogies. Some of them are true. I mean, look the granddad thing was, I love him to bits, from a different era, of course. And we've all got relatives that are no longer with us, sadly, that, you know, in 2026, I think they'd be completely and utterly lost. He was an incredible man and a legend of our family, but he was impatient. He used to like a pint on a Sunday night, and he'd happily go down the local on his own and, you know, just buy a pint and talk to people. He loved it. It was, you know, one of his favourite things to do. Occasionally, he would ask my gran if she wanted to come with him, and if she wasn't ready in 10 minutes, he'd go. Like, the amount of time she'd get dressed, come downstairs, and he'd be gone, because he just won't wait. He'd be a brilliant director of football for Man United. Actually, if he was still with us, he'd be a brilliant director of football for Man United, because he loved football. He watched football all over the place. He'd go and watch any game of football. He'd watch me play Sabuto. He just loved football. But he was impatient, very impatient. Like, he wouldn't wait about. And United need somebody like that. It wasn't like he was like... He would say, do you want to come to the pub? We're going in 10 minutes. But if they weren't ready in 10 and a half minutes, the car was gone. And you were stood at the door going like this. Or you're on a swing going, how am I going to get home? He'd be a terrible Uber driver. Thank God it didn't exist. He wouldn't wait. He'd never make any money. But no, seriously, like, you can't figure out what United are doing at the moment, because we've been very public in Anderson, and if he goes to Man City, that's gone. We've been very public in saying Tonali's too expensive. We've been very public in saying that Wharton's too similar to Mainoo. We've been very public in saying that Bruno Guimarães is too old. It's gone very quiet around Stiller. João Gomes could be heading to Atletico Madrid. So I'm sort of a little bit panicky now, because I'm sort of looking at it and going, that leaves Tchouaméni, Belabor, Scott. And that's about it that I think we're relatively linked to. And I'm starting to worry, because we need three midfielders. And I'm telling you now, Tchouaméni, Belaiba and Scott isn't the balance of three I would go for. We seem to be crossing off names more than we're including names at the moment. And as I said, like it's not quite May yet, but it's nearly May.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Incredibly, we've not interviewed any managers. And incredibly, we're not in advanced talks with any players. So, if I was to Jim Radcliffe, I would be saying to Jason Wilcox, what are you doing? And Jason, I want to make this very, very clear. I'm not talking about the last 2 years because it's been absolute shit and we'll be here all day. What are you doing? Because you're not very good at your job, are you, Jason? And I say, what are you doing? And you could think a million things. What are you doing from sacking Amorim to today when your job is to rebuild this team in the summer with signings and get a manager in? What have you actually done? And don't get me a little colouring book out where you've been drawing pictures of cars and you know, rainbows. What have you actually done that is your job since sacking Amorim at the start of January, where there was a transfer window open as well? What have you actually done? Because we're at the end of April, which is January, February, March, April. That's 4 full months, because it was the start of January when we sacked Amorim and it's the end of April now. What have you done in 4 months around players coming in and the manager situation? Other than sit there and pray everybody wants Carrick and pray that Man City mess up the Anderson deal. What is it you've actually done? Because I think that question, I'm not attaching analogies, I'm not going to do any, you know, comparisons. I think sometimes you've got to be really serious. What have Man United done from sacking Amorim at the start of January to the end of April? And you can include manager interviews if you want, but more importantly, in relation to transfers, what have we actually done? Apart from walk round like Oliver FC with a bowl saying, please, sir, please, you know, there's nothing Man United about it, is there? I don't know what we're doing. Even this morning, like German reports are that United were really interested in Yann Diamande in February and now backed off. So you could actually sit there and say, we're actually backing off deals. Yann Diamande, after Semenyu snubbed us, looked really good. Yann Diamande looked like a deal that we were going to do. I'll come back to that. We're now backing off that. So who's the left winger we're going for? Anderson, as I've said, you know, it doesn't look very good. So I don't really know what it is we're doing. And look, I'm talking about Sir Jim Radcliffe saying that to Wilcox. Let's not forget, that's an example of competence. Sir Jim Radcliffe is not saying to Jason Wilcox, what have you done for the last 4 months? Because Sir Jim Radcliffe isn't saying that. He is responsible. Sir Jim Radcliffe's not sat there to Wilcox saying, what are you doing? That's a joke. That's not happening. Sir Jim Radcliffe's there pulling the strings saying, we're not doing anything. He's the guy in charge of the football side saying, let's wait. We're waiting for something. If anybody knows what we're waiting for, please let me know. Is it a bus? I don't know. What is it we're waiting for? But we're waiting for something. I think we're waiting to officially be in the Champions League. I think we're waiting for Anderson to actually make his mind up. Just the same as last year, we waited for Delap. He went to Chelsea and we shit ourselves. We waited 2 months for Delap. He went to Chelsea and then we were like, oh God, what are we going to do now? So I think we're waiting. I think we are a football club that is slow to act. We were slow under the Glazers. I think we're slower now. There's no example of Man United moving quick on anything. We're just very slow. And in the modern football world, you can't be slow. But we are slow. We're very, very, very slow in what we do. Just in relation to the left winger, by the way, you might have watched the Bundesliga stream last night on That's Football. If you didn't, this is a player that I am absolutely convinced that he is going to be very, very good. His name is Nusa. He plays for Leipzig. He plays off the left wing. I mean, Diamande is probably more of a right winger. I watched him last night. He played on the right wing for Leipzig. He's a very good player. He can play off the left, but I think he's more of a right winger. Nusa is a left winger. He's a proper winger. He's only just 21. He was probably the best player on the pitch. He's very, somebody on the stream last night said he reminded them a lot of Luis Diaz. Well, I'll have a bit of that. I think, you know, I don't know why United aren't linked to him. I genuinely think where we are as a football club, we could take a punt on Nusa, because we're not Arsenal. We're not Man City. He's strong as well. He's 6 foot. He's physical. He's quick. He takes people on. He puts crosses in the box. I mean, look, I've seen him play a few times. I said at the start of the season, I really like Nusa. But if you watched him last night in the first half against Union Berlin, exactly what we need at Man United. Like, he gets the ball. He gets the cross in. He keeps the width. Proper winger. United should be all over that. What I would say about that, though, is I'm not that stressed because we've got Fevell. And he's got a good mentality too. He's probably going to blow up in the World Cup as well. So United would do well to move quickly on that. I mean, whether people say, would Leipzig sell both their wingers? Two wingers came on yesterday, Gomez and Bakayoko, who are just, you know, the replacements for Diamande and Nusa. So you could get him. I don't know what the price would be. But my fear is that you've probably got Fevell saying we should get Nusa. And then you've got United going, we can't get Nusa, two midfielders, a left back. And so we don't get him. I think that might be why we're not going for him. But yeah. Laura Baxter says something on Google came up saying Sir Jim Ratcliffe wants to offload Ugarte. Wasn't Ugarte one of Ineos's first signings? I mean, I'd love to know who's responsible for Ugarte, because Ten Hag didn't want him. It was the first summer of Ineos. So Wilcox was first through the door. Was Ugarte Wilcox's signing? Because Ashworth hadn't started then. Berada, maybe Berada. So it's a bit odd. Sir Jim Ratcliffe saying that he wants to get rid of Ugarte, and yet his director of football is the guy who wanted him in. And also, Bitter Moose said it could have been Ashford, Ashworth. Yeah, but remember, United have always had, since Ineos came in, United have always had a transfer board. So everybody needs to sign it off. Dial says, why would you want to spend 100 million on a player whose team is fighting relegation when his price could bring in Fernandes and Garner or Scott? I think you're talking about Anderson. I mean, mate, we broke the British transfer record for Roy Keane. He got relegated with Nottingham Forest. So I don't think being relegated is the problem. I think you need to watch football and look at the player. Van der Ven might get relegated and he's crap. Anderson and Forest aren't going to get relegated, but you know, Man City want to spend £100 million on him. So, look, I know it's a little bit weak, but our recruitment's weak. If Man City want a player, United should try and get them. All jokes aside, I push the belabor narrative because I know the club. We pick what is easy under ridiculous conditions. Yeah, I mean, look, belabor will be easy because nobody wants him. He's not going to the World Cup, and Brighton want to sell, and he wants to come to us. That's why we're going for belabor. United don't care the fact that he's been shit all season. He's available. He's not at the World Cup. Brighton want to sell him and he wants to come to us. So United will PR that one into he's a world beater. But we're not stupid. If belabor was at Real Madrid and other people wanted him and he wasn't sure about coming to us, he wouldn't be coming to us. And I'll argue that with anybody. If belabor was like playing for Leipzig and Arsenal wanted him and Man City wanted him, we wouldn't go anywhere near him. But the fact is, he's not in the World Cup. Brighton want to sell him. And he wants to come to us. That's why we're going after belabor. We're not going after him for any other reason. Belabor, here we go. Honestly, it's becoming more likely by the day, says Alan. Ryan says, did you know Luke Shaw is the most minutes this season? I'm not surprised, Ryan. It's Operation World Cup, isn't it? I mean, Luke Shaw's probably there now just thinking, what needs to happen for me to go to the World Cup? I mean, what needs to happen for Luke Shaw to go to the World Cup? I'd say, I mean, you know what? Mattson's better than him. O'Reilly's and Hall are better than him. Even Jed Spence is ahead of him. I mean, you need a lot of injuries, don't you? Good morning, United Stan. Mark, did you see Fabrizio's update about belabor? Apparently, we've agreed personal terms with him since a year, said belabor looks imminent. That was literally last night's show, Max. If that's the update, people need to watch the United Stand because we literally covered it last night. But thank you very much. Sarath, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you so much for getting your badge in the chat. Let's talk about Bruno Fernandes because a lot of people are saying, what's the story with Bruno? So Bruno did a very good interview with Wayne Rooney yesterday. And he spoke quite a lot about things. But the big thing that jumped out to me was that, and I think some people may have missed on this, but he was talking about why he stayed at Manchester United. And again, it's another indirect at something he has said about Manchester United Football Club. So he said, look, I stayed because I thought I still had something that I can give back to the club. Obviously, the Saudi situation with the money, it was a lot. But the good thing is I have in my family, my wife is pretty down to earth like me. We're very aware that we don't want to be the richest person in the world. We just want to be the ones that have achieved the dreams they had and live a good life with their kids, trying to be successful as possible. The words of my wife were like, have you achieved your dreams? Have you achieved everything you wanted? And that small thing she said made me understand that she's on the same page as me. So let's keep trying and see where this takes me. I didn't want to leave the club last summer at the point where we were struggling. And he said, I want to win the Premier League. I want to win the Champions League. And I never hide from that. So look, Bruno there, very, very honest that he didn't leave last summer because it wasn't about the money. It was about whether he felt he'd achieved everything he wanted to achieve. So I think that bodes really well for the summer because a year on, the Saudi offer is going to be there again. The money's going to be there again. But surely he's going to have the same opinion in a better scenario. Last summer, all the money from Saudi's there. He obviously thought about it. United not in Europe and he didn't take it. This summer, all the money's there again. But United are back in the Champions League. So I just can't see him going to Saudi. I think he will stay. But look, remember, just remember what he said about the club. From the club, I felt it was, if you go, it's not so bad for us. And that hurts me a bit. He said, I could have left in the transfer window. I would have earned much more money. He also said that the club wanted me to leave. I told the directors that I think they didn't have the courage to make that decision because the manager wanted me. But if I said I wanted to leave, even with the manager wanting me to stay, the club would let me. So look, Bruno has made it very, very clear, very, very clear that it was Amrin that wanted him to stay. And he's made it very, very clear that it was Amrin and, you know, his family and him that decided to stay and that the club always, in his opinion, were the ones that were willing to let him go. We're now hearing the club don't want to do that, but it is a strange scenario. It is a strange scenario. And, you know, I think it's really important that we try and get this resolved quickly in the sense that I don't think he's going to go, but for how much longer are we going to wait around and see if anybody else wants him? My big fear with Bruno is not Saudi. I don't think Saudi happens. My big fear with Bruno is that he deserves player of the year, in my opinion, and he is our most important player. And I saw something really strange, actually. It's in the Sun, and it was from Samuel Lookhurst. I saw this. I wanted to bring it into the show. Let me see if I can find it. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Here it is. Manchester United staff have lobbied Carrick to talk up Bruno Fernandes' Player of the Year chances publicly. Carrick has been reluctant as he does not want to depict United as a one-man band. And this is coming in from Samuel Lookhurst in The Sun. So basically, Man United want Carrick in his interviews to big up Bruno Fernandes for Player of the Year, but Carrick won't do it as he doesn't want to depict United as a one-man band. I mean, look, one, I don't necessarily believe that story, but two, it's really, really weird. But I think with Bruno, my only fear is he does deserve Player of the Year. We were ahead of the game on that. I said it in January. He does deserve Player of the Year. He is an incredible player. And like Harry Kane at Bayern, you put him in a team like Bayern or PSG or Barcelona or Real Madrid, and I think he'll absolutely tear it up. Bruno Fernandes probably should have played for one of those teams in his career because he'd tear it up. Now, it doesn't look like that's going to happen at 31, but if a club out there was willing to take that step and give United £50 million for a 31-year-old, they would get 3 or 4 years of very good Bruno. And would he turn that down? So I'm not worried about Saudi. I think there's a slim chance that a PSG, a Bayern Munich, a Real Madrid or a Barcelona just go, he is actually incredible. Very much like what Real Madrid did with Modric. I mean, Modric was playing for Real Madrid into his mid-30s. I think with Bruno, you could get 3 or 4 years at the very top and he'd be excellent at one of those clubs and he might fancy that. I don't think Saudi's a problem. The good thing is, who's going to give us 55 million or 50 million pounds for a 31-year-old? I don't think that will happen. But that's the only way I see Bruno going. And you wouldn't begrudge him that. I think if PSG or Bayern came in and said, there's the money, you wouldn't begrudge him that. But he's on very good wages as well. The other thing with Bruno Fernandes that's worth considering is that United are going to probably have to give him a contract because I thought his contract was a lot longer than it is. He's actually out of contract in 2028. Which doesn't give him a huge amount of security. Well, actually, his contract's up in a year with the option of another year.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So it's not even up in 2028. Bruno's only got 1 year left on his contract with the option for a further year. Now, I'm sure United would probably want to keep that, but next season could be Bruno's last year at Man United. So, you know, I don't know. Will United, in a year's time, will United want to give another year to a player on over 300 grand a week? I don't know. So it could be Bruno's last season next season, even if he stays. We'll have to wait and see. Keel says, Bruno is fantastic, but if it is a problem waiting to happen, everything goes through him and we don't have a Sir Alex to build something new, says Keel. Stuart says, doing a great job as always. Looks like it's Carrick and Belabor, I'm afraid, for the long term with this board and owners. Yeah, well, I do sort of agree with you. But look, just going back to that, if I was Michael Carrick, I'd be all over that. I would not like that at all. And that's why I'm going to defend Carrick on it. Man United staff have lobbied Carrick to talk up Fernandes Player of the Year chances. Carrick has been reluctant as he does not want to depict United as a one-man band. If I was Michael Carrick, I'd be like, I do not want to be associated with that bullshit. Because the reality is, Man United without Bruno Fernandes would be mid-table at best. We are a one-man team. I don't think it's even a bad thing. Barcelona without Messi, good players, but come on. You know, Manchester United without Bruno Fernandes last season, everybody said, where would we be? This season's even worse. So, look, Michael Carrick should be talking about Bruno Fernandes for Player of the Year. I don't believe for 1 minute he's not talking about it because he doesn't want to make out that the team's a one-man band. It seems a little bit inflammatory to me in the sense that, oh, he doesn't want to say it because it just makes out he's a bad coach, which I sort of get. You know, if Bruno Fernandes is the reason we are where we are, it's not coaching, is it? So it's sort of a bit inflammatory to say Carrick won't big up Bruno for Player of the Year because he doesn't want it to come across that we're a one-man team, which in turn makes him look like he's not a very good coach because it's all about Bruno. But we've watched the games. We've played the games. Against Villa, we were probably going to lose and Bruno pulls off an incredible assist. I mean, Bruno has been the player this season that's got us over the line. There's been other good players, though. I mean, I think Dalot was very good at the start of the season. Cunha and Buemo was good at the start of the season. Le Mans has been very steady throughout the season. Maguire, Casemiro. But, you know, Bruno has been bloody fantastic this year and the club should be shouting about it because they're not going to listen to fans. The club should be shouting about it because he has been absolutely incredible and he does deserve Player of the Year and we do need to shout about it. And, you know, I've heard Carrick in the last couple of interviews talking about refereeing decisions, which are frustrating, but you're never going to change. You can shout about Bruno being Player of the Year. And I think he will do that because I think Bruno deserves it, in my opinion. But I don't believe that story. I think it sounds incredible to me and without credibility, definitely. Just a little bit more about Morgan Rogers. Manchester United are... Hold on a minute. I've just been sent this. Paul Scholes on Man United waiting for Elliot Anderson. Manchester United shouldn't be waiting around for a player who's clearly has them as a second option. Sounds like my bloody granddad. If Man City are leading and United are just attentive, that already tells you everything. Top clubs don't operate like that. Pep Guardiola never waits for a player who's thinking about another team. He always has two or three alternatives ready and moves on quickly. That's the difference. City set their terms, United react. If Anderson is in shore, United should walk away and focus on players who actually want to come. You can't rebuild a midfield with players who see you as plan B. That's how you end up overpaying and still not getting full commitment. Well, I applaud that. I applaud that. Absolutely spot on. If that is an absolute direct quote from Paul Scholes, which I've got no doubt that it is, absolutely spot on. And as I said, it's like my granddad, isn't it? If you're not ready in 10 minutes, I'm driving off. I don't care if you... And it's true. It's absolutely true. The only time that's a bad thing is if you're an Uber driver, because you've got to wait and earn a wage. But absolutely, if you ain't ready, we're going. I'm getting in the car and we're going in 5 minutes. Oh, you're still playing on the swings. See you later. Absolutely gone. King Walker says it could be a fake quote. Well, there are a lot of fake quotes out there at the moment. So that's what I'm saying. It could be a fake quote because I've not seen it anywhere. Let me just have a look at the replies. It sounds like the sort of thing Paul Scholes would say. It might be a fake quote. But even if it's not a fake quote, it's still bloody true, isn't it? And it's funny because I've only just been sent that, and half an hour ago I was telling you the story about my granddad and impatience and just going. And that's exactly what, like Denise says, even if it's fake, it's still bloody true, isn't it? We've been talking, the only reason I've read it out is because we've been talking about stuff like that for about, you know, half an hour ago. And I completely do agree with that. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Yeah, Iriola won't be going to Athletic Bilbao, so he is available in the market. Absolutely true. Will the streets forget Amrin and his role in Bruno? I don't like talking about Amrin because, you know, I actually invented the word Amarima. Loads of people adopted it, but I started the word Amarima, and an Amarima. Well, it doesn't take much to think about it, is somebody that just basically glazed Amarin. And I felt they were a little bit, you know, blind to the issues. What people forget about Amarin is I was very critical on Amarin the month before he got sacked. I didn't like Bruno in the midfield. And I thought the, you know, reluctance to utilise Mainoo was frustrating. And I think that the inability to hold on to a lead was frustrating. So many times we were in good positions and we didn't win games. So I actually wasn't. I think I've sort of been labelled as somebody that, you know, glazes Amarin. But actually, if you watch the channel, in that last month, I didn't. What I did do is disagree with the sacking. I didn't want an interim manager because we're exactly where I didn't want to be. I didn't want an interim manager to come in, get good results and then get the job. Because it's just the cycle. I wanted Amarin to keep the job until the summer and then be moved on. And I think he probably, I think we would have got top five with Amarin. I do. Look at the league, it's crap. We might not be in third, but I think we would have been in fourth or fifth. So for me, I had my issues with Amarin, but I do think they should have kept until the summer and then we would have gone for a proper manager. The problem with sacking him in January is you give it to an interim, people start shouting about the interim, and then you're going to waste 3 years on the interim. So that was my honest assessment of Amarin. Will the streets forget the good that Amarin did? Well, look, Bruno Fernandes is only here because of Amarin. If Amarin had sided with the board, Bruno wouldn't stay. Bruno wouldn't stay if the manager said, I agree with the board, get out of the club. So the reason Bruno's here is Amarin, you know, absolutely. So absolutely deserves credit for that. And absolutely deserves credit for being the only manager that actually started the open heart surgery. I mean, I think the bomb squad was a little bit of an overreaction by the club to try and make themselves look useful. But removing Garnacho, Rashford, Anthony, Sancho and Arna in one summer. I mean, that's your starting goalkeeper, your starting wingers and your backup winger all gone in one summer. I mean, we've never done anything like that. So I think those two things from Amarin do stand out as things that he should take credit for. It's a little bit like Ralf Rangnick. Ralf Rangnick didn't really achieve anything on the pitch, but he was the one person that spoke honestly to the fans about what was needed, the players we needed, the mentality that was needed, and the open heart surgery. And on the journey to wherever we're going, we should acknowledge, you know, the positives of what people did, I suppose. Tiddles says, on current form, if Carrick had started the season, we'd be in a title race. So sit yourself down, Carrick in. I'm just trying to I'm just thinking how to answer that in a polite way without absolutely rinsing you. How would Carrick have started the season? I mean, it's like saying if your auntie was called Robert, you should be your uncle. It's Bob's your uncle. I don't know what to do with that. How would Michael Carrick have started the season? Under what scenario would he have started the season? And if he'd started the season, that would have mean he would have been in here in the summer. And would we have bought the same players? And also, we've been gradually getting worse since January. So if we'd started it in August, where would we be in January? So I think it's a poor comment, mate, to be honest. And I think it's pure fantasy and there's no logic to it. And it belongs in the depths of some shitty social media platform where people talk nonsense because I don't even know why I wasted a minute talking about it. What is Bruno's average rating under Carrick? 5.5 under Amrim, says Robert McCormack. It'd be higher, definitely, Robert. Definitely will. 100%. Give Dorgu his flowers, Mark. His season was derailed by his injury, says Gontz, and had been involved this season, Man United would be in a better position. But we really do need midfielders. Thank you very much for that. I don't really know anybody that doesn't give Dorgu his flowers. So, again, a bit of a strange one. Any chance... I don't even think the Paul Scholes quote is true, Max, to be honest. Is it true about our sporting director or scouts going to Juve Milan match to watch Liao and initiate talks? Probably not, Johnson. Look, in relation to scouting, Manchester United scouts are at games all the time. So Man United would have had scouts at Leipzig last night. They'll have them at Stuttgart tomorrow. They'll have them at Villa tomorrow. They'll have them at one of the 3 o'clock games, if not all three of them today. We probably will have them at Milan, you know. And also, in the modern day, rightly or wrongly, it's not even about going to the games. I mean, I think the eye test is better than the video test, but our scouts will spend their day will be watching 4 or 5 games in full on a TV screen, looking at players. So Man United will be scouting a lot of games, especially at this time of the season, definitely. 100%. Let me just make sure I've been through all the news. Don't forget, today we are live at 3 o'clock. Some big games on That's Football, the relegation battle, West Ham at home to Everton, Wolves at home to Spurs. Forest winning last night means it's going to be a shootout between those two. Also, Liverpool play Palace at 3 o'clock, which could be interesting in relation to the top 5 spots that we're in a battle with them. We play them next weekend as well. Let me have a quick look here. Who do you think will be Man United's first signing? Oh, God. Well, I will answer it. Our first signing isn't necessarily our priority. As I said, the Dan James effect. You might get a player in May or June that you want, but is like your 4th or 5th because it's just chronological how it works. So I would say that our first signing this season, I mean, it's such a great question because I haven't got a bloody clue. In most years, you'd have a bit of an idea. Like last year, we knew Cunha was going to be our first signing now because we'd already been linked to him. And you'd have probably said Delap or Cunha. I haven't got a bloody clue. That's the scary thing. In a way, it wouldn't be wrong to say Anderson because it's the only player that we actually really want. Obviously, I think he's going to go to Man City, but if it did all fall apart, then I'd probably say Anderson, which is wild, isn't it? It's wild to say Anderson, but he's the only player that we're definitively linked to. I don't know who the first signing for United's going to be. Boy Wonder says Belaiba. I mean, Belaiba, there is a shout. There is a shout. Mainu's new contract, like a new signing. But I don't think Belaiba will be quick. we might sign Belaiba, but I don't think he'll be the first signing because I think it will take time. So I don't know who our first signing is going to be. I don't know who the left back is. Don't know who any of the midfielders are. Don't know who the striker or winger is. I don't think we'll do much before the World Cup. I really don't think we're acting like we're going to do anything before the World Cup. I you know what? It's a great question. I've got absolutely no idea who our first signing is going to be because I've got no idea who any of our signings are going to be. And in a way, that's exciting because we don't know. But in a way, it's terrifying because I suspect the club don't know either. I don't actually know what we're doing. I'd love it to be Stiller. I'd love it to be Angelo Stiller. I've said this before. I said it on That's Football last night. They're probably going to give it to Carrick, and that terrifies me. So what can excite me about Michael Carrick getting the job? Not a lot, but if they brought Stiller in, I don't care who the manager is. I'm absolutely convinced that Stiller and Nusa will be really good players. And if United got one of them, great. If they get both of them, I'd be so excited for next season. Whoever the manager is, I just think they're brilliant players. But I've got no... I don't think we are going for Stiller. Avi says, we work ourselves up over managers. The board will never build an elite squad. They don't need titles. They will never seek an elite manager either. I agree. I don't think this football club is about winning titles anymore. I think it's about a brand. I think it's about getting people to buy things, getting people to turn up, and maintaining interest. I think Man United has become... I think Man United will become more and more a study at university on how a footballing, sporting giant can become a brand that survives not winning. Dallas Cowboys in the NFL are a very good example of it, funnily enough, in America. I think United have become an exercise in making a lot of money without being successful on the pitch. And you do that by teetering on incompetence, but not enough that people will force you out. So as long as we keep getting a Carabao Cup or Champions League qualification. MK says, Iheanacho, Truffert, Tchouaméni, Stiller, Kroupi, João Gomes. Not a bad list, never going to happen because none of them are British and we will have to buy British. We're going to have to buy at least one player. Thank you very much. Okay, look, I'm back with you live at 3 o'clock on That's Football. Great show this morning. Really enjoyed it. Whatever you're doing, hope you have a great day, evening, whatever. We have got a Saturday night live 8 o'clock show at 8 o'clock, funnily enough, tonight. And I am on That's Football for 2 watch-alongs today. We've got 3 o'clock, then we've got Arsenal, Newcastle as well. So lots of football to get involved in. Thank you so much for getting involved. And I'll speak to you in a bit. Take care.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.